Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Wham Theater is presenting a panel to discuss the challenges women face in the theater industry. Claiming Her Place will be a fun and lively evening co-produced and hosted by Tony nominee Jane Atkinson, a panel that includes Lauren Ambrose, best known for 6 Feet Under, Michelle Gill, who has a wonderful role in House of Cards, which is the Netflix series with Kevin Spacey, which, just as a side note, if you haven't seen it, it is awesome. Maren Mazey, who is a Tony nominee. Deborah Jo Rupp of That 70s Show, who, of course, just recently played Dr. Ruth, and Linus Roche of Law & Order fame, all going to be on this panel. They're going to share stories and observations and thoughts about the challenges women face in the entertainment industry. This morning, Kristen Van Genhoven, artistic director and co-founder of Wham, joins us to A, tell us about the event, and B, because everyone from Wham has been on except for Kristen, and it was just about time that we saved the best for last. So,
yes.
Here you are triumphantly.
What an introduction. Thanks, Joe.
It is great to have you here. Thank you very much. This is a very cool event. Let us begin with the bolts of it, because I always have to remind myself, and there is an answer to this question, and I know it's not the basis of what you do, but there is an answer to this question of what WHAM stands for.
Yes, that's always the first question that everybody asks. It stands for Women's Action Movement, because I read the book Half the Sky, Turning Oppression into Opportunity for Women Worldwide by Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wudunn, and that's a call to action to join the movement to empower women around the world. So that's what it stands for, but we go with WHAM because it's so vibrant and exuberant and enthusiastic.
And when you do events like this, and we'll get into the specifics of what an event like this is in just a moment, but when you do events like this, it only goes to serve that mission and to really underscore what it is that you're all about. And
yeah, it's to forward that kind of larger, you know, the larger idea of the global women's issues, because that's a huge part. That's why WHAM exists. We happen to be a theater company because Lee Strimbeck, who co-founded WHAM with me, and I are professional theater artists. But the impetus for starting WHAM was the inspiration of reading that book and wanting to take action for women's issues, the larger global women's issues, as they're laid out in the book. So these events really are part of that philanthropic side of our mission, where it highlights the actions that people are taking in their own careers around the world, what they're doing to turn oppression into opportunity.
So when you look at a year of WHAM.
Oh my gosh.
A year of WHAM. what are the tentpoles? What are the big events that you look through for a year? Because you'll have a fall production, which you're going to actually be giving a little snippet of during
yes.
this performance.
Yes. It's going to be really interesting because Jane Atkinson and her husband, Michael Gill, are going to be doing the first 10 pages as a staged reading of our fall play. And it's this really clever wordplay love scene. So I think the audience will get a kick out of seeing the two of them reading it, as will I. We tend to use our year, and we're working towards the fall production. So the different events that we do are kind of all leading towards the main stage production that we do in the fall. This year, that's going to be a Northeast regional premiere by Lauren Gunderson called Emily, La Marquise du Châtelet Defends Her Life Tonight. And throughout the rest of the year, for example, you've had us. Yeah, you're wondering how can you just slip past that huge title?
I was thinking very selfishly that, oh, I have until September to learn that name.
I'm glad I'm Canadian and I speak French,
yes,
so I can get
the
dialect right. Emily Châtelet was actually a very fascinating woman. She's best known for being Voltaire's mistress, but she was a lot more than that. She was a leading interpreter of modern physics during the Age of Enlightenment. Her work was a precursor to Einstein's E equals MC squared, and the play in the fall is she's defending her life. She's tallying her achievements in love and philosophy. Philosophy meaning science, you know, it was all called philosophy in the 18th century. She's searching for a formula that will convince the world of her worth. So, you know, the audience comes in and watches this lab experiment unfold. That's going to be at the Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain space on Linden Street in November. But we'll get a little sneak peek of it at the benefit on Sunday night with Jane and Michael. And so that production will have a beneficiary. And that's the second part of our philanthropic mission, is that we always choose an organization that's out there on the front lines dealing with women's issues, and they become the beneficiary of our main stage productions. So they receive 25% of our box office proceeds. So over the past 4 years of WHAM, we've had 5 beneficiaries. 2 of them have been international, and 3 of them have been local. And we'll be announcing the beneficiary for MLE on Sunday night at the benefit. And a representative will be there from the organization to speak and tell the audience a bit more about how the money that WHAM will be able to donate to them is going to forward their work.
Let's talk a little bit about the panel. You have Lauren Ambrose, best known for 6 Feet Under. Michael Gill, who I mentioned of in House of Cards, who plays the president in that show.
And yeah. It's just incredible. That show is amazing.
It really is good.
I know. And Jane is the Secretary of State, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Jane is the Secretary of State.
That's very cool. And I know. We're completely obsessed with that show.
They just released it for people who don't get Netflix. They just released it on Blu-ray and DVD.
Oh, that's great.
If you want to binge it, you can.
My husband is British and is a huge fan of the original. So we basically swallowed up the first series in about 1 day.
Yeah, that's what my wife and I did too. Maren Maisie is a Tony nominee and has done a lot of work in this area, I believe.
Throughout the Berkshires. And I met her when she was at Barrington Stage in A Streetcar Named Desire. So that's sort of that connection.
Deborah Jo Rupp, who I mentioned, was Dr. Ruth.
She's still Dr. Ruth down in Hartford doing Becoming Dr. Ruth.
Which just got a wonderful review in the Times.
Yeah, perfect person to play that role.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she does an amazing job. That's still running for a few weeks, so still a chance to see that.
And then Linus Roche.
Yeah, who I'm a huge Law & Order fan. I began as an actor, and my dream was always to be the assistant district attorney on Law & Order. So I think it's pretty funny that we come full circle in this, that Linus is going to be on the panel. It's pretty interesting.
So a panel of men and women talking about women in the industry.
It was really important to us to have the male perspective, because this is not just a women's issue. I mean, women's issues don't belong to just women. You know, we have to get men involved. And creating a career in the entertainment industry is challenging regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. It's an extremely challenging industry to have a career in. So we wanted to get a male perspective on both how challenging it has been just for them, if they actually think that there are different challenges for being women, what their observations have been working with their co-stars, with their colleagues, with women producers, women directors, women writers. We really wanted to, it's very important to have both voices then as part of the conversation.
We were hoping, and I had mentioned yesterday that Jane Atkinson would be on the show, and she was unable to join us this morning because of her commitments, because she's in the Lion and Winter at with
Berkshire Theater Group. Which opens tomorrow. She's a complete rock star. It opens tomorrow night, and then she is hosting this benefit on Sunday. And I think she even has to go and shoot something, you know, in another week or something. I don't know how she does it.
I don't know. And I believe she's going to be with us. We're going to be broadcasting on Wednesday from Tanglewood. And I believe she'll be with us to talk about The Lion and Winter.
Oh, great.
With Treat Williams. But anyway, so I have some questions that I was going to ask her that I'll just throw out to you because I have them and I thought they were good questions.
Great. I'll do my best.
But you know, you talk about the issues that face women, and I think I think of maybe 10 years ago that the big issue was about women of a certain age, that there was such a preoccupation with youth that women, as they got older, it was they were finding harder and harder and harder to find good roles. And we don't seem to be having that conversation as much anymore. And I'm wondering if that's because it has changed. But you look at someone like Jane, mm-hmm. who has a successful career and continues to have a successful career, and actresses who have found a great place in the theater. You look at someone like Jessica Hecht and Judith Light in Assembled Parties on Broadway, yeah. and Sigourney Weaver, of course, yeah. And the wonderful plays that are on Broadway that have very successful, wonderful theater actresses in them. And if that, not that the problem has solved by any stretch of the imagination, but right. are we seeing some improvement in that, and a change, a shift of some degree?
Well, as somebody who wants to see the glasses half full, I would like to say yes. You know, that is a question that we're going to talk about with the panel as a whole. And I think as more women get into these positions of being producers, just look at this year's Tonys and how many women were going up accepting awards in the directing category.
Well, women and minorities, and that was yes. and that was really impressive.
And
to see.
It was extremely obvious. It was really they were dominating, you know. And so I would hope that the answer is yes. I think it's still extremely challenging. One of the questions we want to discuss is gender parity different in film and TV than in theater? As you say, there seems to be a lot of powerful female characters being portrayed on stage, particularly on Broadway. How is that being represented in film and TV? Are we seeing that same kind of shift? You know, I just ordered a book about women directors in film, and you know, those stats are still really abysmal when you think about who Right. is being able to get their movies made. So I think as more young women grow up and they're able to have the mentors and the supporters who are advocating for them and making room for them, that the numbers are shifting. But, you know, I just asked having this conversation with various people a few days ago, you know, is this how every wave of feminism has felt? You know, did everybody think that things were getting better and that things were changing? Is there still such a long way to go? I just hope that books like Half the Sky and, you know, the Girl Rising movie and all these different organizations right. that are happening, the new generation is definitely making room for that. So I'm going to say yes to your question yeah. and hope that the panel agrees with me.
And it seems to be, and you made the distinction between theater, television, and movies. And it's just from my perspective, and again, a male perspective, but it seems to me that it is better in theater, and it does seem to be an improvement in television, certainly. And people are calling this a golden age of television because mm-hmm. of shows like House of Cards and Homeland and really good programs that are being done, some really great television. That when you look at film, when it is mainstream box office smash stuff, that I think the argument can still be made, very much so.
Absolutely.
Because of the audience that goes to movies, which yeah. is young kids, usually young teenage kids. But obviously, then you can also say, but independent cinema is doing pretty well. And
well, that's always that conversation, you know, grassroots yeah. versus mainstream, off-Broadway, you know, for-profit versus nonprofit.
Right.
There was just a video gaming conference where there was a big conversation on Twitter about there was no new video game with a leading female character, you know, no action female figure for young video gamers to observe. So,
right.
you know, the conversation is in a lot of different milieus, and, you know, we're focusing on the entertainment industry for this panel, but the conversation is obviously alive and well in lots of different. There was that New York Times article about sexism in different areas and what's happening with that, and a lot of conversation on the social networks around that New York Times article.
Well, it is going to be a fascinating conversation. It is going to take place this Sunday at 7 o'clock in the Mahawy Theater in Great Barrington. It is entitled Claiming Her Place. It is a benefit for WHAM Theater, and you can find out more by going to mahawy.com. And the WHAM website is
WHAM Theater with an RE.com.
Wham Theater, theater spelled the right way, R-E .com. Kristen, you're wonderful. Thank you very, very much for being with us. It's a delight. I don't know why it took us so long, but I'm thrilled you're here on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, and hopefully I'll be back to talk about Emily La Marquise and November.
It's a date. You're here. Again, thank you so much and have a wonderful weekend and best of luck with your event.
You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.